Hello, this is Beth Feldman, and I want to welcome you to the first episode of Outlier Parenting. And I am so excited about this new podcast because I, years ago, became hooked on a book called Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. And my kids were little at the time. And the reason I loved the book was a concept that he shared, which was that if you get 10,000 hours in your profession or whatever it is that you're doing that you love, eventually you can become an expert in that area. And that was really a conversation for adults. And he had all different people from the Beatles to Bill Gates, you know, kind of applying this theory into athletes. And at the time I thought, wow, that's kind of interesting. What if I did that with my own kids? And so I tried it, and it's so far it's been working really well. And as I started this podcast, I also thought about the people that have come into my life who are amazing parents, who have done incredible things in their own careers, but also with their children. And I wanted to share their stories, which leads me to my first guest today, Sherry Taylor. Welcome, Sherry.
Thank you for having me.
So Sherry and I met several years ago now. I can't believe it's like almost, I think it's like 5 or 6 years ago, when her daughter, who is an artist and a fashion designer, was only 11 years old and was this unbelievable fashion phenom. So I'd love to, you know, take us back to her name is Isabella Rose Taylor. And I want Sherry, you know, to kind of tell me, like, what was it you kind of noticed really early on that Bella was talented in ways that were just sort of off the charts? So let's talk about, like, how did you notice that? And then what did you do to really help her grow in you know, her passions through art?
Well, like you said, I didn't notice some things because I have an older daughter. You know, I understood the developmental process really well, and my background being a speech pathologist as well for child development. But I noticed with Isabella, she had a unique ability to organize colors. And even start when she was really young, like 2, how she would even put back the crayons in her box or her markers. When she put them away, she would organize them in terms of colors. And it was really interesting to me, and it kind of struck me as odd, as most children at that age would just, you know, chuck the crayons back in the box or whatever. But she was very adamant about this hue, how she would arrange the colors. I thought, well, that was interesting. She's always been sort of attracted to color and being creative and things like that. And it was little incidences like that one that sort of set a little flag off, you know, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I would take her when we'd go shopping at the store for toys or whatever. She always gravitated more towards paints or making things or trying to be creative. Even just playing outside, she would pick flowers and decorate trees with the flowers, which she would call like tree jewelry or things like that. So I mean, I think I just noticed her creative streak very young. And when she was in preschool, her ability to paint was really quite amazing, actually, without any guidance or lessons, but just fooling around on her own. And I think that's one thing that both my husband and I encouraged, is that exploration, you know, and trying to find what you're interested in and allowing her to explore, and also allowing her to quit things that, you know, didn't work out. I mean, she has gone through many instruments, but I think, you know, we gave her the freedom to sort of pick and choose. And then when she got really into painting, we take her to the art supply store and help her. We tried camps, like, you know, little art camps when they're young, but she actually did not enjoy the restrictions of those kind of camps where they, you know, paint a dog here, make the sky blue. She didn't enjoy that as much. So we stopped doing that kind of thing and let her more explore around, So, yeah.
And you had also, was she homeschooled? Because I remember you took her out of the traditional school setting. Yeah. So how old was she when you did that?
Well, she was really advanced. She started reading at age 2. And at 3, she went to kindergarten. And then they accelerated her again. So she was accelerated a couple more years by the time she was in first grade, then second grade. Then third grade, I think she was in sixth grade, but she was in the third grade homeroom class. And then it just got to be a matter of just even the size, you know, difference between her and a six, you know, a small child and a sixth grader. So at that point with her academic advancement, we decided it would be a good time maybe to homeschool her. And she is a Davidson Youth Scholar. So we were able to connect in that program to other parents who are working with profoundly gifted children to sort of pick and choose and find out the best way to educate her. So I think in that sense, we were pretty outside the box in terms of how we chose to educate her in by following her lead and getting her the things that she needed, as well as covering the basics.
Mm-hmm. And how did you even, when you were that particular program, how did you even find out about it? Because that's interesting too, that where would someone even find something like that?
Well, you know, what's funny is when she was in school, she would, you know, kind of complain, you know, when you pick them up and you're like, what did you learn today? How was school? And they're like, nothing, you know? So I'm so used to them. You know, with my older daughter, I'm like, what'd you learn? Oh, nothing. So, but Isabella was more, nothing. And I'm really serious. I didn't learn anything. And I'd be like, oh, that's really dramatic, you know? And then I thought, she just kept complaining about going. I thought, well, you're so young. Why you know, you have a long ways ahead of you. It's a shame that you're not interested so young. I thought, well, maybe, you know, the speech pathology in me, I was like, maybe there's a learning disability, and you know, maybe that's making her feel uncomfortable. So I was like, well, maybe I should get her tested. And then we found out that no, it was the opposite end of the spectrum. It wasn't a learning disability, that she tested in the profoundly gifted range, and then she automatically qualified to become a Davidson Youth Scholar and Mensa member. So that's how we found out. I'm so used to disorder that I thought, oh, my first inclination was, oh, she has a disorder. But, you know, it was the other end of the spectrum, which also has its own little unique set of issues as well. So,
And she started, she first started with art. And at what age? Because I know she did like a gallery showing. Yeah. How old was she when she did her first gallery showing?
Well, at her school, she had accumulated probably a good 30 to 40 paintings up until the age of 4. You know, and then at 5, one of her teachers, you know, noticed that she had a very unique art talent. So she's like, would you like to bring some of your pieces to sell at, you know, one of these, you know, when they're raising money for schools? And we're like, yeah, that sounds good. So she brought a few pieces, and everybody was, you know, super excited about it. And then that turned into have your first art show at school. So we went there and we hung up 40 pieces and they all sold. Wow. And then, yeah, it was pretty crazy. And then it was a nice way to raise money for the school as well. And then when she was 8 and a half, she was working with mixed media, and she's, you know, I really wanted to learn how to sew. And you know, so she's like, is there a sewing class or a camp I can go to? And so we checked it out, and there was sure enough a sewing camp. So we sent her there, and that's where she fell in love with fashion. And then she just started sewing and making clothes like a mad woman. And
so what would happen? You would just go into his room and say, oh my God, what is going on now? You know?
Yeah. I was like really surprised. And, you know, and she just loved it, and she just wanted to do more. So I sent her up for a week of sewing and patterning class and fashion sketching too. And then she's like, again. I was like, send her another week. And it ended up, I think she went 4 times She just wanted to keep doing it. And then I think what happened after that, as far as the fashion, is that someone had come to the house and they saw the clothes that she had made and the art. And they were like, this is really something. Like, this is really amazing. And at that point, we really hadn't thought too much of it. But they knew somebody in Dallas, an art gallery owner in Dallas, Christy Stubbs. And so they put us in contact, and she saw Bella's work and she thought it was fantastic. So then Bella got signed with that gallery in Highland Park in Dallas, and she was selling her paintings out of there. And then when Dallas Fashion Week came along, they did a combination of an art show with her fashion. And then, you know, it just kept going and going. And then she's done Austin Fashion Week. She did a runway show and was named Rising Star for her designs. And then we went on to bigger things like Nordstrom's, which took, as you know, a great deal of learning and a huge learning curve to move from a hobby sewing clothes to selling to a major department store.
Right. And at the time she was, you know, only what she was like 13 or 14, and she had already been, you were sending her to college.
Yes. Yeah. She graduated. I forgot about that part. Thanks, Beth. Yeah. She graduated high school at 11 and then was attending college for fine arts.
Wow. And then
she transferred to Parsons and graduated Parsons last May.
Wow. And with the Parsons, was she doing that online, or did she go back and forth? How did she do that?
Mostly online. Mm-hmm. Mostly online. And it worked out really well. It was great because the courses that she wanted to study and the program she wanted to do, you had to have already had a bachelor degree and a few years in the industry and be 21. I think those were the rules.
Okay.
And so she had to interview with the head of the department at Parsons, and obviously she passed all that with flying colors, and she was able to enroll. So, and that was one of the best experiences, I think, of her life, was taking classes at Parsons. It was really amazing. She learned a lot of real world stuff, and it's been great. Now she's studying business at NYU. She started last fall.
And also online as well?
Yeah. It's online, but you have to go back and forth. She's going to write exams there.
That's fantastic. I mean, I remember years ago when we had met her, how she wanted to go to Central St. Martin's in London. Is that still in her vision board? Well, she wants to wind up there eventually?
Yeah. Well, I think after her Parsons experience, I think she wants to finish. So far, her thinking is to finish her business degree at NYU and then get back to Parsons.
Wow.
For a master's. She's really interested in strategic design and management, because last summer she took a course at MIT called design thinking, and that really got her interested. So everything just keeps kind of morphing into these different creative directions, and also her business has sort of morphed as well. She started a platform for young women that helps underprivileged girls with paying for their college application fees.
Wow. What is that? And is that through the website, or where can you find that?
Well, you can find it. It's being put together, her platform, right now, but it will be on the website soon. When she was at, she just did a talk at Fossil, I don't know, last month or whatever, and raised money for the platform as well, to help girls get that, you know, to just begin. And sometimes when you begin, it's at, you know, when you're applying to college. So she's starting that. And also her business, she's sort of, what she learned at Parsons, she's kind of taken back a little bit and regrouped, and is redefining what direction her business will go. And, so that's where she is right now as far as her business.
That's amazing. I mean, I saw over the summer she has she licensed had stuff at Pottery Barn Teen or something, which is that's amazing.
Yeah, she designed for PB Teen last summer's collection. It just seems so long ago, but really wasn't that long ago. And she really enjoyed that process. So she flew back and forth. I went with her to San Francisco, and they let her have so much creative control and on the design and the packaging and, you know, color and whatever she wanted to do. And it was nice to have all that support and be able to do whatever you want because they have the budget. So we had a really, really great time doing that. And, I don't know if you've seen the line, but they did incorporate a lot of her art. Mm-hmm. And, it was a great experience. She loved it. And it was interesting doing designing product versus clothing. And she really enjoyed that. And she still wants to expand categories. She still wants to, you know, design other things, you know, paper goods or, I don't know, a whole bunch of other ideas she has going on.
But that's, but what's great, I mean, and going back to what you were saying in terms of the things that, you know, you have done with her over the years, where certain things have become a learning experience, as you know, as a result of, you know, you do something and you course correct, or you realize, okay, this is what we had to do to get, you know, to do this, but now this makes more sense for her. And combining the art and the business is brilliant. And I kind of feel like universities are doing that more and more. I know my daughter's university just did that with her, and she's doing that same thing, like the combined degree with a business degree, because if you're an artist, you still need to think like a business woman.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And you know, she's really enjoying the entrepreneurial part of this, which is also a creative outlet. So I think that, you know, it just keeps growing and morphing and redefining and fine tuning, and letting her control where she wants to go with it.
It's amazing. And now, so in terms of like looking back, would you have ever imagined that it's like kind of leading to this point or, you know?
No, it was just a cute little hobby. Oh, look, she's painting. You know, and it's just blown up to something else, but it's exciting because ultimately at the end of the day, you just want your kid to be happy. So as long as she's still happy doing what she's doing, we want to support her.
I love it. And so we can find Isabella at isabellarosetaylor.com. That's the site. Okay, yeah. Great. And then when the, you know, her other project with the college applications, when that starts happening, just let me know and we'll add that, you know, information as well.
Oh, that's great. Yes. We'll definitely let you know that the website's a little bit under construction, so it should be up and running very, very soon. So that'll be on there.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story today. Thanks. And yeah, I mean, and I think the only other thing would be what, you know, for parents that see that spark in their kid, what's your one piece of advice, you know, after going through this experience?
I think if you can just support them, that's, you know, a good way to go and sort of let them drive their own vision. Where do they want to go and how can you support them? I mean, both my husband and I are not into art. We're not artistic or things like that, but we recognize that she is and we support her doing what she wants to do. I think that's important and not projecting our own wishes. Like, I don't know, some people that's unfortunate when we live through our kids trying to make them do what we wish we could have done. You know, we have to be careful. And I think that if we just keep the ultimate goal being their happiness, that will, I think that's all we can do.
Well, that's perfect. And thanks again. And thanks for joining us today at Outlier Parenting.
Thank you, Beth.
Okay.